There were thousands of people that saw Jesus. They heard him teach in the countryside of Galilee and of Nazareth and in Jerusalem. There were thousands that saw him perform miracles. I don't know how many he healed. But there had to be hundreds. There were many that saw him put to death. There were many that witnessed his resurrection. From all of that information, would you not think that there would have been more people to believe? When Jesus was crucified, there was but a handful of people, mostly women, and John at the cross. Now there were others. There were some Romans, the soldiers that crucified him. And there were some Jews that made fun of him and laughed at him. But where were the believers? Even the apostles did not believe. When he arose from the dead, there were those that gave witness the fact that they had seen the Lord. And his own apostles did not believe them. If you had been there, would you have believed? If you had heard the teachings of Jesus, would you have believed? If you had seen the miracles of Jesus, would you have believed him? If he healed you of your blindness, if he healed you of your crippledness, would you have believed? If you watched him die, and you heard him say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Would you have believed? If I know human nature, I think most of us are sitting here thinking in our hearts, had we seen, had we been there, we would have believed. Thomas said, unless I see the imprints in his hands, I will never believe. We welcome you this morning to the Anderson Church. We're so thankful for your presence. We have visitors. We appreciate your presence. It's good to see the members that are here. Still the vacation days. A lot of folks coming and going, and a lot of folks not here today. We're glad to see you here today. Glad you're able to be with us today. Certainly want to continue to pray for those who are traveling, those who are sick, those who have lost loved ones. We certainly want to remember them in our prayers. It's good for us to be here today to worship the Lord, to best we can to get our minds off the world and what we've been doing the past week, what we're going to do this next week, and our jobs, our school, our ball playing, our whatever we're doing, and to think about something greater, something more important, and that is about God. What He's done for us, what He has provided for us. And as we contemplate my introduction to our lesson today, I'm reminded of what John recorded for us just right after he recorded the scene of Thomas witnessing and seeing the Lord. "My Lord and my God," he said. John said that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. And the great thing that we see New Testament writers emphasizing is that the written Word, the power of God to save, the written Word is equal to the very seeing of Jesus when He was on the earth, the very witnessing of His death, the very witnessing of His resurrection, that the power of the Word of God is equal to that. And it's important for us to understand when we consider the Word of God. It's very intent. The God intended the Word to convict us, to convert us. They were written that we might believe. But yet, it seems the most common idea that we have is not that the Bible is the Word of God and I believe it, therefore I'm going to obey it, but rather we're on the other end. Unless, I will never believe. So this morning I would like to spend just a little bit of time talking about believing. Do you believe? Do you really? You know, we learn from the Word of God, you got to want to believe. There's some people who just don't want to do that. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, Jesus made it very clear about the very concept of believing. And He spoke of prophecy. And if you'll notice there, beginning in verse 13, the text says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables," Jesus said, "because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Now that's quite a riddle when you first read that. If you don't read the rest of the text, verse 14, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, "You will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn again, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." Yes, indeed, Jesus is saying that it is a great blessing to those who actually hear God's Word and believe it. But there are a lot of people that don't believe. And why is that? Because they don't want to. They have closed their eyes. They have closed their ear. And here, what is Jesus offering? He's offering healing spiritually. Spiritual healing for all of us. What do we need more than anything? Spiritual healing. What does Jesus offer? Spiritual healing. Why aren't we healed? Because we don't want to believe. Well, Paul spends a little bit of time in Romans chapter 10 explaining the very concept of believing. And he really gives us, I think, some pretty good insight about that. In Romans chapter 10, if you will, begin reading with me at verse 11. Romans 10, verse 11. "For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed." I think that's a great statement. Somebody tells you about a restaurant. "Oh, it is so good. It's so great. They have fantastic food. Be sure to get this, 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 and this." And you go to this restaurant and you get this, this, and this. And you eat it and you go, "That's awful. That's just like, I'm never coming back here again. That was a waste of money." Right? That ever happened to you? You were disappointed. Maybe we get the idea that if we actually believed in Jesus, If we actually believe God and we actually did what He said do, then we're going to be disappointed about that. That is not the truth. The truth is, if you really, really, really believe and do what God says, you're not going to be disappointed. That's what the text says. But of course, if you don't believe, you don't believe that. You don't believe that. Verse 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is the Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who will call upon Him. Well, I don't believe because, you know, God's not going to forgive me. You know, I'm not worthy. I'm not the kind of person that you know, God cares about. Again, wrong. The reality is, God, He doesn't distinguish between Jew and Gentile. He doesn't distinguish in any shape, form, or fashion, in any prejudicial way. So it doesn't matter who you are, where you been, where you from, what you done. What does God want to do? He wants to heal you. But see, you don't believe that. So you're still lost. In verse 13, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. What does the Lord mean by that? Whoever. It doesn't matter. Verse 14. How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? Good question. You can't. You can't call upon the Lord. That is, Him to save you and to heal you if you don't call upon Him. What does that mean? Lord, Lord. No, it's not just saying the words. It's obedient faith to the Lord. Calling upon Him is doing what He says. Well, what is the Lord going to do? Those that call upon the name of the Lord are those who believe. So if you don't believe, you've never called upon Him, have you? Nope. And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm a preacher. I'm standing here. I'm speaking the Word of God. But you're not listening, are you? No, 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 no. I'm not listening. I don't want to hear it. Nah, 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 nah. Right? What is this text saying? That the Word of God is defective. That the preacher can't get it done. Now, there's a preacher. Here's the Word. It's being spoken. What's the problem? Well, he goes on to say, how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who are bringing glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, is he not just saying that you have to make up your mind that you're going to listen to what is being said in order to believe what is said? And when you believe what is said, you will call upon the name of the Lord and the Lord will heal you. You shall be saved. What is that all called? Faith. Now that's a very simple process. There is not anyone in this room at the age of accountability that doesn't understand that and appreciate that. That's the very simplistic concept of the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, that's not what most people want to hear. That's not what they want. People are more interested in, you know, how to make money, how to have fun, how to enjoy this life. That's what people are interested in. If, just think about it. If everybody within 10 miles of Anderson's building wanted to go to heaven more than anything else, how many would we have in this building today? Why isn't the building full? People don't want to hear it. In the book of John, chapter 12, verse 44, there were people in Jesus' day. There were people that saw Jesus. There were people that heard Jesus. There were people that were healed of Jesus. And notice what this text says. John chapter 12, verse 44. I want to start verse 42, excuse me. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers who believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Now think about that. Unless, I will never believe. Now here's folks that have taken at least a small step. They believed in the Lord. But they wouldn't confess Him. Why? They'd lose their job. What was their job? They were Jews. They were servants of the temple. They were of the Levitical tribe. They were people of God. But they were not willing to confess Jesus because they would lose all of that. Do you think anybody today has ever refused to become a Christian because they might lose their job, lose their livelihood, lose something that they really care about? You see, that's the reality of life. Not everybody believes. Not everybody is going to believe. Now let's look at verse 44. Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me." Just ask you a quick question. You haven't believed in Jesus. You've not accepted Jesus. You've not obeyed Jesus, right? You're a non-believer, right? But do you believe in the one that sent Jesus? So here's the question. Do you believe there is a God? Now think about that. That's what Jesus is asking. Do you believe in my Father? Verse 45, "And he who beholds me beholds the one who sent me." That was interesting. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you believe in the Father, you should believe in me because the Father sent me. But that's not what the Jews were willing to do. They wanted to accept the Father, but did not want to accept Jesus whom the Father sent. Verse 46, "I have come as light into the world, that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandments is eternal life. Therefore the things I speak just as the Father has told me." So these words, are these the words of Jesus? Absolutely. Where did Jesus get those words? From the Father. So if you choose not to hear these words, you are turning your back against God. That's what most people do. Pay it no attention. I didn't see it. I didn't witness it. But my neighbor was telling me a couple of nights ago, remember when the power went out? There was a pole or something out there in Rogersville, blocking the lanes there. But the light, we know the light, right? There's only one. The light in Rogersville was out, right? So there's policemen standing out there and they're directing the traffic, you know. And my neighbor said that he witnessed the fact that there was somebody barreling down 72, didn't pay any attention to the cops, the light was out, nothing. Whose turn it? Just went right through. Luckily, didn't run over someone. One of the policemen got in his car and took off after him, gave him a ticket. Wasn't no time. Another one came right through. You know, there are just some people that are ignorant. There are some people that choose to not see. To not, well, they might have been texting, they might have been jamming, you know, with their phones on. I mean, they may have been, I don't know what they were doing, but they weren't paying attention. Somebody could have got killed. They could have killed themselves. But what were they doing? They were not paying attention to what was being said, what was being done. Welcome to the world in regards to God. God just causes it to rain. He causes the sunshine. He gives us food and He gives us air to breathe. And He gives us health. And we just go on and do what we very well please because we ain't caring a thing about what He's got to say. God's Word is not what people want. Most people trust in some other kind of wisdom. Did you know that there are a tremendous amount of wisdoms out there that say that this book used to be true, but it's archaic. It's outlived its welcome. We are a more educated, wise people, and we figured out that you know we don't have to listen to that. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul went into a pretty lengthy discussion there through verse 25, just talking about the very difference between the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of men. And as you would suspect, if you've read the Word of God, there ain't no comparison to man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. And yet, the very thing is, verse 18, for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. When I was in Canada, the sweet lady and her husband that I've stayed with, the Caldwells, we've known them for many, many years. They're into Amway. And they're our age, a little older. And she'd worked hard all of her life cleaning houses. And she was taking some medication, some pills. And I said something to her. I said, what are you taking there? And she showed me what she was taking. And she said, oh, she said, if I didn't take these, I would not be able to walk. She said, my knees, arthritis, and my hands, my back, basically her whole body. This, you know, she couldn't handle it. But these magic pills she's got here. You know, she takes those, and it's one of those ingredients, you know, that greases you up good inside, you know, makes everything move good, you know. And she says, I really believe and trust in these. I would not be able to move without them. I said, how much are they? And she told me. And I said, my wife needs those desperately. So I call up my wife, I talk to her, and I say, hey, baby, I found something that might help you. Well, my wife through the years, I'm probably giving a little bit TMI here, but my wife has not cared for doctors, going to doctor, medication, nothing, all right? But she's gotten old enough now and having enough pain, she's willing to try anything, all right? So I told her about this and Sharon's testimony of it, and she says, get me some. All right, so I get some of that, and I'm bringing it home, and Mary Lou's been taking a few days, and just the other day she says, you know what? I'm starting to feel a little better. You know what? That's feeling good. I think we made a convert. Right? Now, I don't know what's in that stuff. It may be just be, you know, baloney. I don't know what it is. But there's something in there that's going to help. Now, in this old world, there's all sorts of wisdoms. There's all sorts of things that are being offered to turn you away from God. Another choice. This will take care of you. This will help you. This will do this. This will do that. So we do have choices. You know why a lot of people don't believe? Because they have been convicted and converted to something else. That's just what happens. And do you know? You won't really ever know for sure that you made the right choice until it's too late. And one of these days, you'll know whether you made the right choice. Good luck with that. Some people just don't like the commitment. You know, I've been here 2 years about. It's about finish up 2 years. And I preached and taught and hoot and hollered about commitment and serving the Lord and putting Him first and all that sort of thing. And some of you, I know that it's touched your heart. It's made changes in your life. Some of you, it's just gone in one ear and out the other and you just continue to do the same thing you do. I mean, that's the way it goes. That's life. That's people. That's the way it goes. But I'm just saying to you that when we read the Bible, we learn that there are people that don't believe because that is too much of a commitment. I just don't want to give that much time and effort and money to that. And that's a choice you make. Look at Matthew chapter 19 just for a brief moment. Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. And behold, one came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do to obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Did you notice how Jesus worded that? He said, "But if you wish to enter eternal into life, keep the commandments." So Jesus is saying, you got a choice. You want to go to heaven? Well, keep the commandments. What if you don't want to go to heaven? Then do what you want to. You know, for me personally, I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm either going to be 100% in, all in, and give myself to serving God 100%, or I'm going to be a complete heathen. I am not going to ride the middle of the road. Because riding the middle of the road don't get you nowhere but lost. Either you're in or you're out. Either you're serving Him or you're not. People that hear the gospel learn that. And people make a choice. Oh, that's too much for me, man. I'm not going to be no Christian. Why? It takes too much time. It takes too much effort. Doesn't allow me to do what I want to do. That's why people don't believe. I just don't have time. Man, I'm working. I'm busy. I'm going 100 miles an hour. I'm in the rat race and I'm the biggest rat in the race. And I'm running wide open. I'm smoking and I'm leaking oil. But I'm running. I'm going, man. I ain't got time for church. I ain't got time for God. Where does that road lead you, rat? To destruction. That's where you're heading. But yet this old world, our society, more than any society in the world, builds the concept and the idea about financial success, about power and position, and being busy and busy and busy. You know, I love the Mexican idea. About, what is it, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, all the stores close, everything shuts down, a couple hours, everybody takes a siesta. Everybody just relaxes and chills. You know, everything's closed, man. Well, my understanding is kind of that way of life, even through Central America, is the idea, even when it's work time, you ain't running wide open, you know. You get there, you don't have to run wide open. What is it, America? Everything is wide open 100% of the time. Our job, our life, it's everything. Why? Because we've got to be successful. Got to make money. Nothing wrong with making money. Nothing wrong with being successful. you know what? If you don't have time to serve the Lord, if you don't have time to help the needy, if you don't have time to teach somebody Jesus Christ, you are too busy. And when God comes, be sure to tell Him you don't have time for judgment. Tell Him you don't have time to go to hell because you're still busy. You be sure and tell Him that. See how that works for you. Serious business, guys. Serious business. You ain't got time. Too busy. Wow. Well, should be obvious, right? We don't believe because we like sinning. We like sinning. Why? Because it's fun. The idea that we would preach and teach. Now, listen, brothers and sisters, don't be out there sinning because it's no fun. It really doesn't, you know, it's not any good. What? It's no temptation if there's not some fun to it. There's no temptation if it's got no little fizz and pop to it somehow. But you know what the Bible teaches is that that sin and what the devil has to offer, it's short-lived. It's short-lived. Yeah, it's fun. But when you had your fun, there's always consequences. And the consequences, even the devil himself does not tell you the consequence of the fun. But God does. He says the wages of sin is death. It'll kill you. We got a saying, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, but back in the day when I played golf, me and some others, we would get up to the tee and get ready to really try to, you know, hit a 400-yard drive, you know. And we'd really buff up, you know, and say, watch this, you know. And then we'd hit it, man. We'd hit it, and it would be a big banana, and it would... It'd go about 400 yards, but it'd be down like three, you know, other holes down, you know, someplace else. You know, watch this, yeah. Last words of a redneck, right? Watch this. What are we doing? What are we doing? Watch this. No awareness or care about the consequences? Watch this. Go for it. Do what you want to. God ain't watching. Me and a bunch of others were doing canoeing one time in Tennessee. And I kid you not, there was this dude, he was on this rope, this big tree swinging out into the river there. And right before he took off, he said, watch this! Well, he was drunk as all get out, and he swung out through there, and he wound up in the middle of the creek. But what an idiot. Think about that. What do you see when somebody says, watch this? Spiritually, you're watching somebody bound for hell is what you're watching. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I've made a trip to Israel and some other places in the world, and I've been impressed. I tell you what, to stand at the Sea of Galilee, at Capernaum, where Jesus taught, just right at the synagogue foundation, first century time of Jesus, still there. That causes some goosebumps to come up on you. Just down the way there is where Jesus, in all likelihood, taught the Sermon on the Mount. And there were thousands of people sitting in the grass, listening to Him. To be there, 2,000 years removed, it's It's pretty impressive. You know how many people go to Israel every year that aren't even Christians? Stand in that same spot? Millions. You know how many of them actually believe? Do you really believe? Why don't you believe? Bottom line, because you don't want to. Why haven't you been baptized into Christ? Because you don't want to. One excuse is as good as another. But you know why Jesus died? You know why He raised from the dead? For you to believe and to obey Him. So if you're here today and you're not a believer, you've never obeyed the Lord. Well, Brother Slee, if Jesus Christ was right here and I could see Him and I could talk to Him and ask Him some questions, I'd believe. No, you would not. You would not. Because there were people that touched Him, that talked to Him, and they didn't believe. What makes you think you would? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Do you know what that's the definition of? Faith. Faith is believing and trusting in something you have not seen. What is Jesus asking of you? Believe in Him. Trust in Him this morning. Why would you do that? Because you're lost without Him. Don't you realize that? You've been saying all your life, watch this. And what's been happening to you? You're dying. You're lost. You're on the road to hell and destruction. No, that's not politically correct to say, but that's what the Lord is saying to you. He says, I can save you from that. I can save you from that. But you've got to give it up. You've got to respond to Me. And I'll save you. Will you listen to the Lord? You've got one more chance this side of eternity. You've got no promise of tomorrow. Why not believe and obey Him today while we stand and sing?